Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
For your transgression, you receive the atomic bird to the ass!
Bird!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Ha ha!
This is the devil! Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Awing my wet, awing my wet, awing my wet, awing my wet, awing my wet. She's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. whiskey and I own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't stop us out and you can't make us run, cause when them old boys raise on shotguns, we say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Were the devil. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Hello everybody, it's old King Shaziz the Terrible. Hope you all doing well out there and having a good holiday. Don't have any of the knights on board right now. Wish my buddy Mike would pop up in here because I think he could probably help me out with this one. Anyway, I'm going to play just a bit of a YouTube clip right here, and I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's like a couple hours long, it seems like. But I hope you can hear this well. I'll just go ahead and play a bit of it.
Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delim, and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die.
And the Lord God said,
It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said,
This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman,
Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
And the woman said unto the serpent,
We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
And the serpent said unto the woman,
Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him,
Where art thou?
And he said,
I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said,
The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the woman,
What is this that thou hast done?
And the woman said,
The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent,
Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Unto the woman he said,
I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
And unto Adam he said,
Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. And the Lord God said,
Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever.
Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden, cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. Chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said,
I have gotten a man from the Lord.
And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain,
Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain,
Where is Abel thy brother?
And he said,
I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
And he said,
What hast thou done?
The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.
And Cain said unto the Lord,
My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me.
And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.
And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle, and his brother's name was Jubal, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives,
Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold.
And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth.
For God,
said she,
hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, and begat Mahalaleel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalaleel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years, and begat Jared. And Mahalaleel lived after he begat Jared 830 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalaleel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying,
This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed.
And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said,
My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years.
There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said,
I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah,
The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in the cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them.
Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah,
Come thou, and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by 7s, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by 2, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by 7s, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8. And God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the 1st day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 600th and 1st year, in the 1st month, the 1st day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the 2nd month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying,
Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh, with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you. From all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine, and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said,
Cursed be Canaan! A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren.
And he said,
Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.
And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
They sure did live a long time back in that day. Anyway, If anybody out there wants to call in and have a bit of a discussion, that'd be appreciative. So, when we listen to the book of Genesis in the Bible, it's an amazing tale from beginning to end. The creation of the heavens and the earth all in 7 days. Even got a touch of the first murder that ever was created according to the Bible. There's so many different religions out there, so many different versions, that it's kind of hard to keep track of. It's kind of hard to get a grip on all the different stories that's been told. So I was sitting around contemplating, and I wondered what would happen if alien ships were to show up on our shores or our world. What would that mean to religion? Has anybody out there got an answer to that question? If you do, give me a call. In the meantime, I'm going to throw on a quick tune and take a breather and get my mind straight. Alrighty then. See, old King Shaziz the Terrible here is trying to find a tune. And I'm still thinking about what I just heard.
In constant sorrow all through his day. Trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and no pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble. I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that
everybody. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible here. I'm sitting around waiting for some of the knights to show up, but in the meantime, I posed the question, if UFOs and aliens came from outer space and kind of, you know, are like hovering there in the sky, how would that affect what we believe to be is, whatever you believe, as far as religion goes or anything like that? I seen in another chat room over here, somebody was wondering what's the reason for life. Well, I don't know. I got my own views on the reasons for life. I think life is like this big learning experience. You know, you basically come down here and create the reality that you live in. People kind of under the impression that they have no power in this world. And I'm hoping to change that mindset in a lot of folks that, you know, no matter how you look at it, everything you do and everything you say is pretty much going to affect somebody around you. It's going to affect your world that you live in. And so with that said, then that's a pretty good sized responsibility. If you look out there in the world that we live in today with all the wars and all the craziness going on, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a religious person or not, nobody can disagree that there is both good and evil in the world. How you want to perceive that for whatever reasons, you know, whatever explanation you want to put behind it. Man supposedly inherently evil or whatever. I don't believe that man's inherently evil. I think that man has the capability of being both. But here we are with one of the most amazing gifts that's ever been given to, in my view, mankind in the history of time. We've got a beautiful Earth that's one massive thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. It's three-quarters covered in water, self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. So with that said, what we do with this Earth, you know, there's, in my view, there's nothing that we couldn't accomplish working together. You know, I'm into the alternative energy community, and there's a lot of research going out there trying to essentially show people how to tap into what nature has already provided. I have my own religious views on life, but I also got this thing that's called common sense. You look out into the world and you see somebody starving. Common sense to me is you go over there and you use some of the resources available to you, and you feed them. I mean, to me, it's simple. To me, being able to tap in and learn from what nature has provided, it's simple. But over the years, if you look, history repeats itself over and over again. Wars and more wars, craziness. With all the technology that we have at our disposal right now, there is no reason. Hey, we got a caller calling in here. Hold on there a second. How you doing there, Thomas?
Hey. Being able to say words, you're not talking live.
Oh, yeah, well, you're live right now. Could you turn your radio down? You might want to come a hair closer to your mic there, too.
let me check and see if I can just turn it up. There you go.
You're a little crackly, but it'll be all right. So, have you been listening in what I was talking about there?
I caught like a tail end of it there. I didn't realize there was anything going on. I kept popping in, but all I heard was music. So, you know, I kind of figured maybe there were technical difficulties. So I figured I'd just wait and let you let me know whenever it started. So, I had the page loaded all the time, so.
Well, I was playing a bit of a podcast, a reading of Genesis, and trying to lead into what it is that I was fixing to talk about until the other night show up. We should have Cultus and Muddy here sometime during the show. Anyway, I was posing the question, what it would mean to all the people out there if suddenly aliens showed up from outer space. You know, as far as the religious goes, what would be your view on that?
My view?
Yeah.
I have a feeling it would cause one hell of a problem, not because, aliens would, like, discount an existence of something greater than, like, something that created the universe, let's say. It wouldn't totally discount that, but these people and the religion that they follow now is so screwed up that it just couldn't handle it. It's too fragile. It couldn't handle something like that. They have a house of cards, you know? And they would just blow it all away, and then they'd have to start all over from scratch again, you know? So...
Yeah, it's a pretty terrifying thought to think about the way that people would react in just such an emergency or whatever, you know. To me, in my own personal views, just like you said, it wouldn't discount to me a divine creator. You know, I got my own views on things, and I just wanted to pose that question because, if you look around the world, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. You know, there is nothing that anyone could ever do or say that would ever surprise me in the least after things that I've seen, in my lifetime. So,
right.
So with that said, I'm just putting it out there on the table. What if aliens showed up tomorrow? You think that it would cause a worldwide calamity, a worldwide war, or worldwide peace, or chaos?
I think unless there's an intervention from the aliens themselves to get people to accept that they're, just because their belief of religion is not correct doesn't mean that spirituality still doesn't, that doesn't mean that spirituality still doesn't exist, that you'd see a mass amount of people that would walk away. There are a lot of people that are already teetering on the atheist religion. They're about to switch over to the non-belief belief, which, I have my qualms with them, because every time you turn around, I'm running into, this is the thing, it's not a physical violence, it's a verbal and an emotional violence that they perpetrate, because people don't believe that there is no God like they do. They believe there is nothing more, and the problem is they believe that they know this, they think it's a fact, and they're like, here's our facts. You don't believe in dragons and fairies, and there are books about them, so, that should mean that because there's a book about God that he doesn't exist either. And my first thought is, I thought you said you guys were all into science and were scientists, because that's not scientific at all. If we were laying out this line of reasoning in a courtroom, that would be dismissed as circumstantial evidence. Lack of proof is not proof. So you guys are resting on a belief system yourselves, So basically atheism is a religion.
You still there? I think we lost him there for a second. This was a good conversation. Thomas, can you hear me? Well, I agree with everything you're saying there. And one of the things that I'd like to point out...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you sound much better now. Can you turn your radio off?
Yeah, well, I don't have the radio on. That's literally just Skype you're hearing right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound good now, but maybe you can move your mic away from the speaker here, or turn your speakers down a bit.
Right. Well, I'm going to say, I've got it turned down pretty low. The mic position, I think, is the problem right now. I had it, let me see if I can put it back to where I had it. I need to get it out. I was using a Bluetooth headset before.
There you go.
That sound better?
Yeah, that's great.
Not getting any feedback now?
No, you're fine. You're fine now. Anyway, yeah, I was liking what you were saying there, and I was saying that one of the things that kind of bothers me about the atheist point of view. Now, keep in mind, I don't press my religious beliefs on anybody. All I'm saying is that, we're essentially all in the same boat together, We're flying through space on this beautiful rock that we call Earth, and if it's kind of like this, if we're all in the same boat together and we got people punching holes in the boat, eventually that boat's going to go down. You see where I'm coming from?
Definitely.
And so, you know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just posing the question. I'm not trying to, you know, dispute anybody's beliefs or religions or lack thereof or whatever. I'm just trying to point out the mere fact that, you know, with all these things going on in the world, the people of the world who, in my view, have been given one of the greatest gifts that could ever be given as far as all the resources and the knowledge and the tools and the technology to do wonders on the earth. I mean, we literally have the power to create a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And I'm not talking under
Instead, they're creating a hell on earth.
Yeah, exactly.
Bombing and killing children and, you know, women who basically are doing absolutely nothing. I was just reading a thing where the cops came up on a guy here in America who was watering his lawn and claimed that the nozzle of his hose with the water coming out of it looked like a gun because they gunned him down and killed him. And it took them one hell of a time to just to get a lawsuit against these people to go through and verified.
Well, see,
lawsuit. They didn't arrest the officers who shot and killed this man. They just took some money out of their account, which the bank, the money that they're taking was money that was taken from them originally anyway.
So
nobody got punished in that. Those cops are out there still shooting more people. You know?
Yeah, and it's a reoccurring thing, you know. Even if the atheist or non-believers or whatever, nobody can deny that there is pure evil in this world. There's pure good in this world. It's kind of a out of balance kind of deal right now. And
right.
So if you
we know better. That's the thing.
Yeah,
we could be doing something else, and we know we could be doing something else. In the animal kingdom, there is no good or evil because they're just doing what they do.
Yeah.
They have no control over who they are and what they are. But we have sentience. We are aware of our existence. We're aware of how we affect others. And to choose to not do something that would be detrimental or to stand by and allow something detrimental to happen to someone else when you can stop it, that's where the evil is at.
I agree, brother. I agree 100%. And the fact that, like you said, we know the difference between good and evil. We know the difference between right and wrong. And there's a lot of folks out there like myself and yourself and other individuals out there who see the lack of common sense because, like we were talking about, we have the power, literally, to create a heaven on earth if we choose to do so. But we're going down the wrong path. And hopefully, you know, by us continuously to throw positive pebbles out there in the pond and try to steer this boat down a different direction than what we are going. I mean, we got a president over here that essentially talks about how he wants to take care of the children. You want to protect the children, but in the same sense, sends a robotic drone over to another country and bombs children and families over in that area under the guise of protecting
them. Yeah, I was gonna say that's a problem, but I don't pin that entirely on him.
Well, I don't either.
We have a whole organism that we call our government that unfortunately it's all out of control, and if one person tries to steer that organism back the right direction, you see what happens.
Oh yeah, that's what happened to Kennedy.
The last person before that that seriously tried to change things and make a better world that was within that system was Lincoln.
Yep.
When you get in the way of the tank, it will run you over, and that's the only thing to do. You got to pile enough bodies up in front of that tank until it just can't go anymore. It gets mired down.
Well,
who wants to be first?
I agree with you, and I say that you know it. The average Joe has to understand how powerful their voice really is. You know, they have to understand how powerful their actions really is.
And you need to realize just how powerful that dollar in your pocket is.
Oh, exactly.
When you have it. You have the power at that moment to choose the fate of someone else with that dollar. This is the thing I tried to point out to like the people at the Free Energy Party. They're trying to get into office, right? trying to provide free energy for everybody and whatnot. And, you know, I already warned them that they're basically, if they do even get recognized, there's a good chance they're not going to live through it. But, you know, I tried to point out, look, the money system is this. This is what we have right now because of the people who are in control of it. You have your hands tied together. And those bindings that are around your hands have a rope leading off from them that lead off in the distance to somebody else's throat.
Yep. And so, essentially, you know,
right, there's one around your throat, too, that goes to somebody else's hands. And when you struggle to get a little slack, you're choking somebody else to death until eventually somebody falls.
Yep.
And then the bank that controls all this, the Federal Reserve, steps in and goes, hey, look, free land.
So, would you agree... Would you agree that the people of the earth need to stop feeding that beast that's eating us alive?
Been saying it for a while now. Yeah. I started something called the Rebel Consumer Alliance that is strictly and specifically like a system of tools to use to try to put an end to this. One of the things is called a revolving boycott. That's, I originally conceptualized this off of somebody else saying, we need to make Shell hurt every day. Let's just boycott Shell because they're such, you know, complete jerks, right? And the thought that occurred to me was that if you boycott Shell, if the whole of the U.S. just started not going to Shell, it wouldn't just send a message to Shell. It would send a message to all the other oil companies because they would go, oh, my God, that could have been us.
Yep.
That could be us. We could be with our neck on the block right now. So the idea behind the revolving boycott is that you choose somebody and you boycott them with an intended purpose behind it. Once your purpose is achieved, you can stop the boycott on them and move to someone else. Just keep, like, you say it's a quarter. You got to lower the price of gas a quarter or we're not coming back to your gas station. We're going to everybody else, but we're not coming to you. And when they come down, then you go to the next person, quarter, next person, quarter. And keep doing that until eventually one of those companies is going to go out of business because you boycotted them to the point where they couldn't afford to exist anymore. Then you know you've reached the point where the gas prices really should be.
Yeah, and here's another firestorm of a subject that needs to be addressed and a company that needs to be boycotted is companies like Monsanto that are tampering with the food and stuff like that, you know?
We may be too late about that, dude.
Well, hopefully we're not, but you might be right.
This is the problem with tampering with genetic code. It took millions of years, in some cases billions of years, for those codes to get into the position they're in. And all of those little bits of data and all those atoms that make up that DNA are kind of like cornflakes in a box of corn, in a cornflakes box that has been shaken around until they all settle down to as tight a pack as they can get. And that's where they're supposed to be. And when you fluff that up again, it's not going to just stop shifting as soon as you want it to stop. It's going to keep changing.
That's the doggone
seeds. They don't want any more seeds. They want you to have to go to them and, you know, buy your seeds from their, I guess it's like the equivalent of a puppy mill.
Yeah, I understand. And, you know, the insects being mutated to the point where they don't, the pesticides don't bother them anymore. And so they put a stronger pesticide out there. When they do that, the stronger pesticide, you know, there's only so many parts per million a human body can stand. And in my view, it's a zero parts per million, you know. That we, you know, because anytime you put a synthetic in your body,
they're in the nature to begin with. Because
yeah,
we evolved in the ecosystem that we came out of before Monsanto and Bayer and a couple other companies like them have started modifying and mucking about with things. And you know, so we're adapted to that. And when you make a sudden shock change like they're doing right now, you can't adapt in time for that.
Nope.
And I think that's their intent, though. I don't think the intent is to try to make a better solution. I think their real intent is just to get rid of the majority of the what they consider the serfs.
The competition?
No, not even competition. I mean, they look at it as this world belongs to us, and you're all living off of us. You're leeching off of us. you know, even though we're the ones that actually make everything turn.
Well, and you hit on a key point there. You know, they're always talking about how the world is overpopulated, and they like to try to use science and exponential growth and all that. I disagree with that so much, it's not even remotely funny. You know, you put a bunch of...
We have an overpopulation problem, but the problem is that they have specific regions with too dense of a human population. They need to spread out.
Well, yeah, I can...
More than they have.
I could agree with the spreading out portion of it, but there's land out there. There's government land all over. There's national reserves.
Living on it. That's just it. They're all being cooped up into a tiny little space. You know how they went on about how horrible conditions that they had in these giant corporate farms where they were raising chickens, where they had them in cages stacked up on top of each other, so the poop was falling down from the ones at the top all the way down to the ones on the bottom.
Yep.
And this is the condition of a high-rise apartment.
Well, yeah, pretty much. But here's the thing, dude. Here's the thing. The folks that are out there preaching the whole overpopulation, number one, they're not using the common sense like you just said. When you cram all these people into the city, you can expect people to get sick more often. But they're not jumping in the front of the line and saying, for the better of humanity, we're going to take out our portion of the family so y'all can survive. Right. You know, they want to take us out.
No one's offering up to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
they're all for you getting out of the way, but not them.
Yeah.
You know? So.
But either way, you know, the common sense of the whole thing is, man, if you look out there, the earth is 3/4 covered in water. We're not going to run out of water. That's not possible. We're not going to run out of land unless for some reason the earth is flooded, and I don't believe that in the whole man-made global warming deal, because the basic science disproves that in every direction.
If you just look at that globe that's on your little site there.
Yeah.
You can see how much water has been captured. There's no way that amount of water, if it were to all liquefy in those two frozen regions, that it would cause the entire world to just flood up.
Yeah, but they want to charge people carbon taxes.
Yeah, and this is the thing, too. It's not the CO2 that they keep harping on about. It's all there's methane and a couple other hydrocarbons that are harder to break down for plants and whatnot to use it. But the carbon dioxide, the plants love that.
You
put CO2 in the air, it will make the plants of the earth grow at a greater rate. And when they do, they will convert more of that CO2. And it's a self-leveling mechanism. You can't balance that without killing off the plants.
Well,
that's the problem. They're screwing with the plants, though.
You hit on another key point earlier, is when you was talking about how, you know, all this stuff had been created over millions of years. See, nature knows what nature's doing. You leave nature alone and do your own thing and take care of one another using all the resources, you got it made. But you start jacking around with nature, nature will literally kick your butt.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
That's where the concept of flying scorpions comes from. Don't screw with Mother Nature, because she's already got plenty of things in that you haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
You don't know who you're messing with. That's the phrase I guess we're looking for here.
Yeah, and that, you see, the main reason why I don't believe exponential growth theory about, you know, world being overpopulated is for that pretty much simple fact, is that nature will balance itself out like water will always find its level, no matter if you got a hose 1,000 miles long. On each end of that hose, you can measure it off the ground, and that water bit.
You know that one of the things that they're using to earmark that they have such global population problems. So I looked at these people starving to death in Ethiopia. Well, let's take a solid look at Ethiopia. Ethiopia is the number one producer of tantalum. It is an essential metal that they use everything from making capacitors to lining gun barrels so that they will last 10 to 15 times longer while in mass combat, where they constantly keep firing rounds out of it, and it causes the barrel to heat up to such a high degree that if it were just a normal barrel, it would just basically melt down. And it's an extremely difficult element to refine and process. So you got to find some really cheap labor to do the processing. And let's see. Well, with the destitution that Ethiopia is under right now, those people will just about sell you their grandmother for a bowl of rice.
Yeah, I agree.
And we'll go down there in the mines and work on the refineries and clean that that tantalum that these corporations want so badly so they can go to war.
But back on
China.
Back on my point was, like water finding its own level, you start cramming a bunch of people into the cities, nature starts putting in bugs. It's going to pretty much, start depopulating it. You know, nature will balance it out with disease or whatever.
When you put people into an area like that, this is one major thing that happens. If you move a bunch of people into an area, in order to do that, you must displace all of the things that would prey upon those humans.
Yep.
So let's say you build a city in Africa. You're not going to find a lion walking down the street, because if they see a lion, they're going to get rid of it.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a chance that lion will kill somebody, so they don't want them out there. Well, what happens when you start screwing with the ecosystem?
Well, you pretty much, instead of having any lions, you got a whole lot of gazelles, and they're running out in front of cars, and people are
right.
getting killed.
Exactly. Or there's something else that basically, you know, the lions are keeping in check that we're not paying attention to, like rodents.
Oh, yeah.
The bubonic plague. You know, there's just so many things that can go wrong the second you start teetering with it. You know, you don't play around with the ecosystem unless you really know what you're doing. And I don't honestly think there's a living human being on this planet that knows enough. People like Tesla, I think, knew enough to understand that they didn't know enough. So they stepped back from that and focused on the energy thing, you know.
Well, I agree. And I'm just, you know, basically kind of dumbfounded at when every time I look out there and I see and listen to all the craziness going on. These people out there bickering back and forth, it's like watching a football game, you know, Reds versus Blues, Democrats versus Republicans versus Libertarians. You got this big old distraction, which to me, you know, the vote...
That's you just nailed it. Distraction. It's a mad show. Pay attention to the shiny coin. Don't pay attention to the fact that I have my hand on your wallet.
Yeah, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But that's the thing,
he's
man.
The last of the food, so you're going to go without, you know.
The average Joe out there outnumbers the elite by the billions. And yet the average Joe will submit to the elite just because they're too lazy to think for themselves. And, you know, that sounds...
Or they want that shiny coin.
Yeah, that sounds kind of hateful to say that the average Joe would be too lazy to do that. But look at the evidence before you. You know.
Well, I was gonna say it's not the laziness. That's where it's at now. But it started with something else. It started with them basically being afraid that their intelligence was not enough for them to be able to take care of themselves, so they let somebody else lead them around by the nose. And over the course of the last 100 years, mankind has essentially been engineered to be the mouth-breathing couch potato that he is now.
You have a talent, man. What kind of talent do you got?
I don't know what.
Are you a carpenter? Are you a good cook? Are you a good artist? A musician?
Machinist, chemist. Architect, engineer.
Well, there you go. See,
weathersmith.
Now, I got a lot of talents myself, but by myself, I can't accomplish a whole lot. I mean, I can accomplish a few things. I can do some
right.
pretty amazing
and that's
things.
The thing. You need to get people together.
But you put you and me together, we solve problems.
Well, that's the thing, is two people can accomplish more than three together than three people can accomplish individually.
Exactly, and that's the point. That's the point of all these alternative networks like No Borders Radio and Wake Radio and We Roar and Shaziz Radio and all the other networks out there. I mean, if you go look on ShazizRadio.com and you check out the show host section, there's a link down there to alternative radio stations. And the reason why I'm not opposed to putting links to all the different networks is because I don't want people out there to just listen to what I got to say. I want them to feed their mind. I want them to listen to alternative views all over the world so that... you know, they have a choice. You know, they can step back out of the box and look at the big picture and make an informed decision based on all the information that they've heard. What do you think?
I'm getting ready to send you a link.
So, you know, the whole thing about, and the reason why I brought up this whole deal about the aliens coming down here, and, you know, the difference between what the Bible says and what the atheists say, and things like the movie Zeitgeist and all that kind of stuff, these to me, you know, well, like I said, we're all living in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. It doesn't matter what you believe, who you believe in, or who you don't believe in. The fact is, we start punching holes in this boat, it's not one religion going to go down. It's all religions going to go down. It's all people.
You know, on the religion thing, I think what all these people just need to realize is that nobody's right. Nobody is 100% right. Not one single one of them.
No, and it can't be because of the educational system that we've had to contend with.
Actually, it's more than that. There's no way for the human mind or the human being to achieve the technology necessary to truly investigate something like that. So don't be mad at somebody else because they don't believe the same bedtime story that makes it easy for them to go to sleep at night.
Well, you know, I can agree with that too.
There's some things we don't know. And just do what you honestly feel is right, you know?
The education portion of the deal, we only know what we have been taught all these years. We only know the stories that we've been told, and so that's the evidence that we have to base our belief system on. Now, I choose to...
You just said the magic sentence there. We only have the stories to base our facts on.
Yeah.
You can't base your facts on stories. You have to base your facts on findings, on observations.
Well, and that's I agree with that 100%.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You got to separate those two things. Don't if we can properly compartmentalize those two things, then you can have the Muslim, the atheist, and the Buddhist and the Christian all working in a scientific environment to solve the same problems, and nobody's fighting and arguing over who believes what.
Yeah, well...
And it's not important. That's for you at home.
You can follow a couple of the...
You also believe that stuff, but, you know, don't get into a fight and, you know, go out egging people's houses and you know, having your kids beat other kids over the head with rocks because, you know, they like to go out and look for, you know, Easter eggs. I'm sure you heard about that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard just... Like I said, brother, there ain't nothing anybody could tell me that would surprise me in the least. But, you know, you can follow two of the world's major religions back to pretty much the same family. Kind of, it would have been the equivalence of a split family today. And essentially, they've been arguing over who was the chosen ones or whatever. And I'm not going to put any names out there for any religion. People can do all that research for themselves, but... What I'm trying to back to the same exact point that I keep going around in circles on about us being in the same boat. You know, you can sit there and you can fight for thousands of years over what piece of land belongs to who and who's the chosen one and who's the right God or the wrong God. But even the atheist wouldn't want to live in a world to where everyone on the planet is in fear for their life. You know, we're either in fear for our life from disease or some doomsday scenario or World War III. All these things that I'm talking about are hindering the forward motion of humanity itself. We have,
they're hindering the fact that we could have solved aging and dying.
Oh, yeah. Well, starvation...
So we're all going to age and die.
Starvation is a prime example, and disease is...
long enough to get going.
Starvation is a prime example, and disease is a prime example. Number one, on the starvation issue, it doesn't take, like I said, I keep watching these shows on TV, these commercials that talk about starving babies over in Ethiopia and different third world countries. We can amass millions and billions of dollars and tons of machinery and food and medical supplies to go over and mop a foreign nation into the Stone Age, but yet we can't go over there and put a sandwich in a starving baby's mouth.
Well, that's what I was trying to say, though, earlier. Those people are not destitute because there's something wrong there that is inherent in the system. They have been... That's been engineered. Somebody did that on purpose. All the facts point to that.
Well,
they want those people poor so they can take advantage of them. The same thing with the Chinese.
Then would you agree that it's time to go over there and rip that curtain down that the man is hiding behind, and basically, hey, look, they're, listen to what he's saying, you know? Watch what he's doing. You can watch his actions and see whether you agree or disagree, you know?
Right. The problem is, though, the person who puts their hand on that curtain will get shot the second they're even within, like, you know, sight of it.
Well, I would... I would
have to get over there and pull it down. It's going to take more than one person to do it. We're going to have to bum rush this guy.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
You can shoot one or two of us or even 100 of us, but you can't shoot us all.
Yep. Divided we stand, united we fall. Or united we stand, divided we fall. That's the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, that's the thing. We don't have time to jack around. We don't have time to sit here and debate over who's right and who's wrong, with which religion is right, which religion is wrong, or whatever. We don't have time to debate that. Our world is going down the crapper in a hurry. We're going downhill fast.
It'd be nice if we could just put a pause on the religion thing. Say, look, We're going to just agree to disagree, and nobody's going to talk about it for, like, the next 20 years.
Well, this is what I would like to see.
All your attention and focus on getting some solutions done. Once we get this world straightened out, then we can sit around and, you know, philosophize about who's right about what. But for now, let's straighten. I mean, you mentioned that thing about fighting over the land. All that time they fought over that land. If they had just gone and used some land somewhere else, how much further ahead in life would they be right now?
Well, just think about, you know, all the advancements, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have to think about it, really. How many people that were like Tesla and Edison, I mean, not Edison, but Einstein, were destroyed in the gas chambers over there in Nazi Germany?
My point exactly. You know, I said this a couple shows back. I said that, you know, if we lose one life on this planet, don't matter which country from or which religious background, we lose one life. We may have very well lost the next major cure for the worst disease ever, you know.
Yep.
It's, you know, we need one another. No matter how tough you think you are, how intelligent you think you are, like I said earlier,
see, flesh is still flesh.
I can't accomplish everything by myself. But if I got your skills along with my skills and the man next door's skills, there ain't nothing we can't solve. We bring these people, these brilliant minds from all different nations, to bring about positive, real positive change. Not under some sort of one world government, but under a one world people. You know, people who just understand that this boat that we're living in, it's sinking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And freedom. The same folks that you go vote for. A lot of folks will pull that lever just because of the color of the, you know, red or blue. You know, it's a Democrat. I'm not voting for no Republican, because they've been told all the lies and propaganda. But they're voting for the same people, because what happens is, when you pull your lever and you haven't done any research, what's this guy's record in the past? What has he done for anybody in the past? You don't even know what he's done, but yet you vote for him anyway. And then he might be a perfect angel. He might have the best intentions, but once he gets there, the way that our system is set up, people go in there and they'll bribe him, they'll blackmail him.
Anybody who's in there to really do anything useful will basically get cock-blocked every step of the way.
Yeah.
And then they'll point at them and say, hey, didn't he promise to do this, this, and this? Well, he didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
It's because you were in his way the whole time, you know.
So the point...
And every chance he had.
The point is, the change isn't going to come from any representation. It's going to come from we, the people at the bottom. It's going to come from a grassroots thing. You look over your neighbor's yard.
With the way things are, yes, there is a way to get something from the representation, but it's going to require going in undercover and acting like literally a mass amount of people all running for all these different offices under different parties and whatnot, but they're all under the same guise. So let's say that, you know, let's go back to the Free Energy Party. Let's say they want to get into office. If they get somebody in as president, it's not going to do one lick of good if the rest of Congress is still full of Democrats and Republicans.
Yep.
The same squabbling's going on. So you get a whole bunch of people that are all Free Energy Party movement people to go ahead and sign up and become Republicans and Democrats and all this other stuff, and wait till they all get into office and then rip the donkey and the elephant costume off and go, surprise, motherfucker. You know, we got you.
Watch the F-bomb, brother.
Oh, sorry about that.
All right.
But you get what I'm saying, though. Just jump in there and just, you know, once we're in, surprise.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're going to straighten things out now, whether you like it or not.
Anyway, I agree with you, you know, but it's still, at the point in the game that we're in right now, it's actually going to take the average Joe right now to, you know, instead of living in a neighborhood like, you know, you got all these rules and regulation, everybody got to have the same color house, instead of complaining about your neighbor's yard being, the grass being too tall, go over there and ask him, yo, brother, you know, could you use some help? I could help you trim your yard down if you like, you know. Doing little things like that, it does make a difference. It makes a difference in your community, because now your neighbor knows, hey, I got a good guy next door to me who actually cares about me, you know? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about the yard thing, too. They're having so much problem with a lack of food in certain areas. Stop growing lawns. How many people can graze on grass the way a cow can?
Well,
grow gardens.
I got a friend in Spain who solved that problem.
What's that?
I got a friend in Spain who solved that problem. He goes by the name of Dublin. And anyway, he's got this deal that he coined called Gorilla Charity. And essentially, it's like, instead of asking, you know, when you see a problem, you just run by and hand somebody a sandwich. And he was also talking about just going out everywhere and just throwing food seeds, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
Tomato seeds, the watermelon, whatever will grow in that area.
That's actually one of the list of things that's in that Rebel Consumer Alliance.
Well, there you go.
Gorilla gardening.
Go out there and plant food,
just,
you know.
Yeah, just go plant food and leave it. Don't even worry about coming back.
Yep.
Somebody else can eat it. You know, sooner or later, you're going to run into somebody else's gorilla garden whenever you need food that'll be ripe when you need it.
Exactly.
Pass it forward.
You know,
I had three things. I had the revolving boycott, which involves boycotting. The produce cot was the big thing, because everybody knows about the boycott and the buycott. You buy from this person, you don't buy from that person. The produce cot is stop buying from people. Make it yourself.
Yeah.
Find something. You can make anything. Even if you go down to the local hardware store and pick yourself one of those metal hole-punching little handheld deals, and you can turn sheets of plastic, like from, you know, lids and from pop bottles and whatnot, into buttons.
Yep.
Anything. Find something. You know, it doesn't have to be great. This is the thing. You get these people to actually do something like that, and that will build confidence. And then they'll start trying to do more.
And that's what needs to be done. And that's why we want to try to empower people to believe in themselves. Because, you know, there's a lot of folks out there who get wrapped up in the chaos, all the things going on in the world, who get so depressed and so down, you know. But they're looking at life
That's because they're watching the news. Popular term now that seems to be coming around that actually fits it perfectly, and it's called fear porn.
Yeah. And, well, you know, I agree.
It's a living horror show, you know?
Watch YouTube sometime. There's a lot of fear mongering going on YouTube, you know? I understand that if something's coming towards the earth and everybody needs to know and it's scientifically verified, you know, you put that information out there, but it seems like it'd be a whole community out there of people that are just basically trying to tell everybody, you know, doomsday's right around the corner, doomsday's right around the corner. How many doomsdays have we been through and we're still here?
That's just it. They're all trying to tell. No matter what it is, what category you're talking about, whether it's doomsday or it's the health and safety police or it's the Nazi, grammar Nazis, they're all trying to tell somebody else how to run their life instead of just doing that thing themselves for themselves and living by example.
I agree. My thing.
Don't tell people how not to do something. Show them how it's done right.
Yeah. You know? My thing is this.
Show them how not to do it by doing it wrong yourself.
My thing is this.
Fix.
If there's if there's a huge planet X and it's actually coming around and it's going to slam into the Earth, there's really not a lot we can do about that. And so every day from that point on, you might as well make the best out of a bad situation and enjoy what life you got left, because there's nothing you can do about it. And so instead of sitting around wasting your life and not spending time with your children and your family because you're so paranoid and afraid of everything that's going on, you should be making the best of the bad situation and letting all your family and friends know how much you really love them, because time's short. And I have the same argument with the atheist too, because the atheist out there, you said earlier that you was talking about how they would literally be hateful and rude and just verbally attack and insulting people because of their beliefs. I'm saying to this, if you're an atheist and you don't believe there is a God and you believe that when you're gone, you're gone, why would you want to waste the short time? Because the average lifespan these days is anywhere from 65 to 80, maybe 90 or 100 if you're lucky. And so you're wasting your time trying to convince somebody else to believe something other than what they believe. And given the chance that you might be wrong and you might end up going to hell per se, you're going to drag them with you because of your stupidity. Why not just let everyone believe what it is that they want to believe? If it makes them feel comfortable, let them believe in their own beliefs. I'm not going to change my religious beliefs because of somebody's movie like Zeitgeist or anything like that. I'm going to believe what it is that I want to believe. It makes me feel good, and I like the information that's taught via my particular religion. And, you know, so with that said, don't waste your time on it. Do something constructive. If you're an atheist and you want to leave something behind for your children and your children's children, something positive, you know, you're not going to leave nothing positive behind by putting a seed of hatred into the world that, you know, if you believe anywhere other than what I believe, then you're trying to control me or whatever. You're just going to perpetuate the same type of war that keeps, like, the radical Islamic folks over there fighting with the Jewish people or whatever, you know.
That's just it. You've got two radical movements over there, too. They've got radical Jews that are fighting and radical Muslims that are fighting. The non-radical people are some of the nicest people you meet anywhere.
Yeah.
I have on both sides of the fence. Nothing wrong with either one of them. It's those people who are willing to actually kill somebody else over a little scrap of ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth it. Not worth it. There is more than enough room. Go find somewhere else to live. You know? I've had some conversations with some people about a lot of things that I'd really like to investigate when it comes to that, like the black rock, the shards that they the Muslims worship, and how apparently when they actually go to see those things and touch them, that when they come back, they're stark raving mad. They're not the same people. Maybe there's some radiation in it or something that actually drives a person insane, you know? It would be pretty terrible to find out that all these religions that these people have have some sort of icon at the center that will drive you mad if you get too close to it, you know?
Well,
there's your alien you're talking about, blowing everybody out of the water.
Well, if you ever saw the movie Mars Attacks, you'll know why my view of aliens is kind of whacked out, because in the movie Mars Attack, as funny as it is,
you're not fun, we are your friends.
Yeah. act, we come in peace, and then they start shooting.
Yeah. I thought that was Mars Attacks. I didn't think it was politicians' attack.
Well, the politicians pretty much say they come in peace, and then they get in there and start regulating away your freedom, you know? Oh, well, we got to protect you, so we got to take away your rights. Now, how's that protecting me by taking away my rights? Number one, you're violating your oath of office by even suggesting that we get rid of the Second Amendment or the First Amendment, because you swore to uphold the Constitution when you went in there, and yet here you are picking away at it. You know, any scratch on that Constitution is a violation of your oath.
Like, that you don't have those rights without the Constitution. The Constitution doesn't give you those rights. The Constitution confirms that they existed to begin with.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that as well.
You can't take these things away from them.
I look at the Constitution as a contract between the people to be governed by a respectable representation that clearly states these are your guidelines. You can't go, you can't exceed these guidelines. My rights come from, in my belief, my rights come from God.
There's another one of those little niggles, those little wiggle rooms that needs to be addressed. That's the problem with the politicians that we have now, is they look at the Constitution as saying, well, it doesn't say we can't do this, so let's do it.
Yeah.
Instead of going, okay, this is what it says we can do, and we're not doing anything else. We're going to stick with that. Unless something literally drastically has to be changed in order to add something else that we can do to this list, this is all we're doing. Everything else is left up to the people, because if they would leave us alone from the very beginning to take care of ourselves, we'd be doing so much better right now.
Oh, yeah. Go back in the olden days, back there when the farmers had to use a mule to plow the field, and they didn't have access to combines and tractors and stuff, man.
They had more than that, too. They had to make their own roads.
Yeah.
Damn good job of it, too.
And they had to build their own houses. They had to heat their own houses, chop their own firewood. And back in them days, you know, they saw a neighbor, maybe the neighbor's barn burnt down, the community would come together and they'd put that barn back up. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had the time to do that simply because they would get together and get it done quick.
Nowadays,
drag their feet.
Nowadays, a family, the wife has to go to work, the husband has to go to work, and the children are left to strangers that may or may not have their best interest at heart.
And not just strangers, they've got a whole bunch of children all being taken care of by just a couple people.
Yep.
Because everybody else has to be off working so the government can have their hand in their pocket taking that excess out.
So
this is the problem I see with free energy, too. If we release something and put it out there to the general populace and everybody knows it's out there, that means the government is going to know it's there and they're going to go, well, you're not paying for that electric bill anymore. That's $200 every month you have in your bank account. You didn't have before. Let's see what taxes we can come up with to get that $200. Because, you know, we deserve that more than you do.
Well, yep.
You have $300 now every month you're not spending on gas. Well, let's raise those taxes another $300 and soak that up.
I'm not saying that it's not an uphill battle, but what my advice to all the alternative energy guys out there is to do what it is that I'm doing. Whenever I come up with a new idea or I rediscover old, lost or suppressed technology, I'm just sharing it with the world and I'm sharing it for free. If I come up with a new invention, I'm not going to by any means patent it, because once you decide to go into the patent process of any design, then you open yourself up for corporations to come in there and try to steal it out from under you, or suppress it, or governments to try to regulate it by via saying it's not safe.
Problem: the government regulations. You know what Spain's going over the people who are getting? They're making all their own electricity with solar power now.
Well, I've heard things like charging them fees for how much energy they're producing or whatever.
Yeah, they're taxing them for the amount of sunlight they collect.
Yeah, and in some places it's illegal to store, to capture rainwater. Can you believe that?
You're diverting it from the natural flow where it, you know, it is supposed to basically put it back into the aquifers. I'm sorry, but that doesn't happen.
So my thing is, when you take ideas that you've got and you freely give them out to the world, because I believe knowledge belongs to every single individual out there. It was all a gift to us to begin with. And so when you give it away freely and you don't worry about going out trying to get rich or get a patent on that stuff, it's really hard for a company to sell a widget if everyone out there has a widget. You know what I mean?
That's why most of the technology I'm focusing on right now, people keep talking about getting funding, getting help, getting, you know, grants and all this money to basically do this. If it takes all of that to do it, I don't want to do it. Yeah. I want to do something. I want to come up with a solution that works from just the stuff that you can grab locally.
I agree.
It costs you next to nothing, and you can still do what you need to do with it.
And that's why whenever I work on, if you have ever seen my videos on YouTube, you'll notice that
I saw the Frey one.
Oh, yeah, I love that one. Anyway, everything that's in my lab, 99% of it is all recycled junk, things that I've dug out of the trash or had been donated to me. And so I'm not opposed to, if somebody's got a project to work on and they really believe in, getting donations for it. But if anybody ever wants to donate to me and you got an old toaster out in your garage that's just gaining dust, heck, throw it in the mail. I could use it, you know.
I
don't care.
And that's kind of what I'm, that thing, that link that I sent you.
Yeah.
The step on the evolution on that is to basically try to bring together people through the mail and through the internet to work together. Like, you know, there's a place not too far from here that, you know, those giant dumpsters that are about the size of a semi-trailer.
Yeah.
They throw away one of those every 2 or 3 days full of medium-density fiberboard.
Where'd you put that link, in the chat room?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll catch on to that one later. I'll check it out and maybe put a link up on Shaziz Radio to help that out.
Cool.
But
I'll say, you know, there's resource. Everybody has a resource of some sort nearby them that somebody else doesn't have and needs. And if we would get together and network those resources around, and you know, the same thing goes with tools. There are people that need CNC cut parts, and I have a CNC machine I built myself here that cost probably about $75 worth of nuts and bolts and all the other structural components. I just basically salvaged. I can cut the parts they need for whatever it is they're working on, or if they want, I can cut them parts and get them their own mill.
Well, see, and that's the key. You
know, spread the tools.
What you're talking about is the key to this whole deal, is essentially what we're doing here as far as getting all these networks and brilliant minds together. You know, you got access to tools that you've created there that are beneficial to somebody who might need it on the other side, and vice versa. I might have something you need. And by networking like we're doing, you know, whether it be knowledge-based or, you know, actually shipping each other some old parts that we're not using, this is how we, at a ground level, can actually make a difference in our lives. When people stop going to stores like Walmart and Kmart or whatever, all these different big corporate places, and buying things instead, creating them, and, you know, hey, I can make some really good honey over here. I'll ship it over there for maybe a bottle of your wine or something like that, you know. And then the stores start getting a little bit empty because ain't nobody going, because everybody figured out that it's a little bit easier and cheaper to create something yourself and trade your goods for somebody else.
It would be nice to be able to retract back down to that general store.
Yeah.
You know, there was an even... That's the point of the Rebel Consumer Alliance, is to try to bring balance back between the consumer and the retailer or the producer. Because we have a very unbalanced system right now where the people have no control whatsoever in what's going on in their life. They're all discordant and disconnected, and you know, there's just no cohesion. Whereas the corporations have been working very hard to become this, I don't know, like an arrow, just straight to the point, the bottom line, you know? So,
yeah, and they don't really care who they walk over to get to the top, and that's the key. You know, we're down here at the bottom. You don't walk over your neighbor to get better.
You don't care if they walk over, because no one has the power to do anything to stop them. They would care if we could actually put a stop to it.
Well, we could.
We have to get everybody together at once and say, look, we're going to work together to solve this problem. We don't like the way Walmart is doing things, okay? Every single person that's a member of this network is not going to be shopping at Walmart until it's resolved.
Yep.
Not for a day, not for an hour, not for a week. If it takes 6 months, we're not coming back.
You know, there's folks out there who actually take the time. They're few and far in between. There's folks out there who actually take the time to research where the products actually came from and the conditions of the workers out there that had to make them products. It's like Walmart used to be like all made in USA kind of stuff, and now it's, you know, they can put the made in USA label even if it's like some sort of territory that's under U.S. control or whatever.
Actually, it goes worse than that. If they just ship the stuff over here in a big crate and then put it in bubble wrap or blister packs or whatever here, then suddenly it's made in the USA.
Yeah, but here's the
thing.
No,
it's packaged in the USA. Oh, well, that's part of it. The packaging is part of the product.
they get these folks over there to work for pennies a day, and sometimes under really unsafe, most of the time under really safe conditions. They go over there, they trash their land, they pollute their water,
and that's the thing, though. Those people are in that position they're in right now, and in the weakened position they're in because somebody engineered that.
Yeah, and they can't really necessarily fight back because they don't, you know, everyone's afraid.
Right.
But either way, they bring them products back over, and they'll sell them to you, the consumer, for a 300% or more markup, and you think you're getting a good buy whenever you go out there for Black Friday and punch each other in the face and knock each other down so you can get your latest PlayStation and such, you know? It just, to me, it sounds ludicrous.
Well, this is the thing that really kind of is proof in the pudding, too. You go on eBay and you look and you find the Chinese sellers and the Hong Kong sellers selling the exact same things that they're selling at Walmart. And they can sell you something that Walmart sells for $20. The Chinese seller is selling it for $3, and they're paying for their own shipping. That's $3 shipped.
Yep.
That's not $3 for the item and then another $5 to ship it or something like they charge you here, or maybe $10. No, $3 and that's it. You don't pay anything else. How much is Walmart paying for that $20 item when they're buying giant crates of it?
Well, the chances are they're probably buying it from direct buys from the same people you're buying off of eBay. Exactly. And I would say skip Walmart, go to eBay.
Right. Oh, yeah, and I do. Anything that I buy, I do.
That's what I do. I've found it's a lot cheaper on eBay.
Even if it's not cheaper, if it's the same price, if I can get it from the source and I can cut out something like Walmart or any of these other, you know, major retailers, then I'm going to do it because I know the retailers are basically draining the finances. If I'm paying for it on there, and because of maybe the shipping or something, it's the same price, I'm putting money in somebody else's pocket for doing an actual tangible service for me.
Yep.
Instead of giving somebody a ton of money for something that took next to no effort whatsoever for them to do, which is, you know, the situation you've got with Walmart. I hate to keep using that term, but I mean, they're pretty much the top dog now, you know?
Well, I agree with you.
Well, I'm going to say, what people don't realize, too, though, is being top dog costs a lot of money. So if we were to boycott them, even for an hour, I looked at their take, they would lose $7 million every hour that people weren't in there buying from them. And it costs them between $100,000 to $200,000 an hour for all those stores to be operated. So they would be losing that $100,000 to $200,000 an hour that we weren't there buying.
And people would say, well, you know, by boycotting, all you're doing is helping, hurting the consumer. You, in a sense, they might be right, but the thing about it is, you could be at a job such as Walmart 10, 20 years, right before you get ready to retire, they find some petty reason to get rid of you and then cut you out of your doggone benefits.
Yep.
You know.
And that's just it, though. If you have a mass network like that, you can boycott Walmart for some, you know, practice you don't like, and then turn around and tell them, look, we're going to keep boycotting you if you start cutting jobs. If you try to save money by cutting jobs in order to make up for what you're rightfully giving us back in the first place, then we're just going to keep boycotting you. Well, I mean, we'll keep boycotting you until you go out of business. You either do what's right or else.
Well, and
the thing is, that's a big enough finger to point back to those people. By getting all together and all of us putting our fingers together.
The same would apply with the politicians out there. You know, you put these people in office and you just essentially let them free, you know, and then complain about what it is that they do. You hold their feet to the fire from day one. You hold them accountable.
That's just it, though. They're not free. The thing is, they get into office and they're under orders from people who run corporations. So if we start affecting the consumer side of things to control the corporations, we can control the politicians, too.
Well, you got a point. You got a point.
It's all a big, big pyramid, you know. We're at the bottom of it. We're the only reason the pyramid's even standing. So let's take that power back.
That's right. The base of the pyramid is the strongest portion, and it's what holds up the rest of it. And so without us, the beast can't live.
Though, we can be aware of that now thanks to the Internet.
Well,
we have the most powerful tool we could possibly have in our hands right now.
There you go.
We need to use it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. We're living in as far as I'm concerned, we're living in the golden age. We have access to, before all we could hear is what was coming over the radio. That was where we got our news. You know, now I can call you up on Skype and I can say, hey, brother, they say that there's some sort of bad weather in your neighborhood. What's it look like outside? And you tell me, oh, it's sunny over here. I don't know what they're talking about.
Right, exactly. I can just look out the window and then tell you.
Yeah.
That's something I was kind of pointing out to somebody else not too long ago, too, is that we have two... We're not living in an age. We live in two ages right now. If you look out the window and look at the political climate and all the wars and everything, we have a dark age going on right now.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy before it's all over with.
But this is the thing, though. Within the internet... We have the Renaissance era right in front of us. And all we have to do is extract that Renaissance era out of the internet and start putting it into use. And we can turn the dark ages that we're in right now into another Renaissance era. You know, we can have that heaven on earth you were talking about.
Well, I believe it's possible, you know.
Reach in there and get it. The information is all there. I mean, one of the things that I've been having to point to some people... for, you know, information they're digging for is like on chemistry. You go on to Wikipedia. You start looking at you know, a giant article all about this one little, you know, group of atoms stuck together, right? And it gets overwhelming. Skip all that. Go straight down to production. Find out how it's made.
Yep.
There's a paragraph or two, and it'll tell you exactly how you can do it and multiple ways on how to do it, usually. And then you can go down to the next level, and that's what's it used for? What can you use this thing for? Everything you need to know is right there.
Well,
you can find out all the dangers and whatnot if you want to. That's all in a neat little package. It's compartmentalized. Use it as such, and you can do whatever you want. Anything can be done, you know?
And my plus sign on YouTube is that, just like you're saying on looking up on Wikipedia and stuff like that, is that there's a whole lot of how-tos out there. I figured out a lot of things that I could fix and fix it myself and on the cheap. I figured out a whole lot of stuff and some of my research. I used other people's research to get to the point where I'm at. And so I give the world credit for, you know, anything that I do, because, you know, I use YouTube instead of as some sort of crazy toy or fun... what's the word I'm looking for? Entertainment. I use it for a research tool. I use the internet. I use Google for a research tool.
You use the internet what people are supposed to use the library for.
Yeah.
And it was Frank Zappa, wasn't it? He said, if you want to party, go to college. If you want to get an education, go to the library.
And I personally don't care that the government's spying on me. I know they spy on me. I don't care. I seriously don't care. I mean, you know, what are they going to do? I'm 48 years old. I've had a pretty good life. If they come and whack me now, you know, I believe in karma. Eventually, what comes around goes around. You know, they were talking about in the Bible about, you know, if you kill a man, another man's going to kill you. That sort of thing, you know.
Right.
So,
for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Yeah.
There's also that little thing of threefold.
Yep.
What you sow, so shall you reap. Well, that's not a religious thing. That's just common sense.
Yep.
If you go out and spread a bunch of dragon thorn grass seeds all over the place, you can expect to be bleeding out of your feet within the next year, because there's going to be a bunch of little dragon thorn seeds growing up out of the ground, poking holes in your feet. If you go out and throw a bunch of apple seeds around, within a few years, maybe 5 or 10, 15 years, there's going to be apple trees, and you're going to have more apples to eat.
Yep.
What you sow is what you reap, you know?
And here's another key point to make as well on the same subject that you got with the seeds, is that this, there's a really wise thing that people have overlooked, is that sometimes when you plant a seed, you may not live long enough to actually see that tree grow. You may not ever be able to fast forward. Yeah.
Let somebody else have it later on down the line.
Yeah. You may not ever...
What somebody else planted and died and left for you, and, you know, make sure you leave something else, though, for the next people coming along.
Exactly. Like the folks that was before us, you know?
Right. That's kind of a problem with the mentality of the general populace, and this comes from the organized indoctrination that they're getting from these corporations. I want it now, I want it the way I want it, you know,
the easiest way. I want it just basically given to me. Nobody wants to actually work for something, and they're not willing to do anything to give back to people unless they get something in return. You know?
Well,
you
yesterday...
something and let it go. Like, you know, it's for them. I don't want you to pay me back. I gave it to you for you to have. They don't understand that concept. They're like, what? That sounds like communism to me. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's because the Russians didn't do it right. No one's done communism right. That's why it hasn't worked, you know?
Well, I say instead of putting the power into the dictator's hand, we put it into our own individual hands and help one another out and use common sense. Yesterday on my wife's show, I put a deal out there, and I was talking about the true meaning of being rich. And I said, you know, rich to me isn't about the gold that you can put in your pocket. The true gold isn't how much gold you can put in your pocket. It's about the people of the world, all the different friends and family that you've met all over the globe, the things that we do for one another to try to benefit each other's lives. I have a friend over in Ireland who sent me some home remedy that benefited my wife. You know, he didn't charge us for nothing. He went out of his way to send it because he knew it worked, and she used it, and everything was fine. You know, I would have never even known about that particular home remedy if it hadn't have been for the tools that I had access to. But I'm grateful for him because, you know, there he was some knowledge that I didn't have, and he shared that willingly and freely with me across the world. And, you know, for that, I'm forever grateful to that man.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's pretty much how it should be. I mean, you think about it. What's that, the adage? I met a man in the road, we each had a dollar, and we exchanged dollars and left, and we each had a dollar.
Yep.
The next day I met that man, and we each had an idea, and we exchanged ideas, and we left each having two ideas.
Yep.
You know?
There you go. That's the true gold right there.
Yep.
You know, I started this show off talking about if aliens showed up down here, because I wanted to try to get us to the point where we are right now, and that's this, you know, if aliens show up, so be it. You know, keep on rolling with it. Hopefully they're peaceful aliens. Not like the Mars Attack versions or the ones you see in Hollywood.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're not peaceful, it won't be the government that saves us.
Yeah, that ain't no joke.
They'll be selling us out.
So, you know that, and if the government's got technology that they found over 50-some-odd years ago, and been hiding it out, there's a reason why they were hiding it out, because they wanted to keep power, you know, instead of sharing, hey, look what we found out in the desert, man. We can give everybody free energy with this device, or we can solve diseases with this device. You know, if they had access...
They pulled that out, and they said, well, this will fix this problem. We don't have a problem. We have a solution that will basically eliminate an already existing solution. The solution we have isn't broken. Let's not fix it.
Yeah, well...
Never mind all the people it's steamrolling under, because it's only not a problem to them. It's a problem to all kinds of people, because we see people going without all the time, but the people who aren't going without are the ones that see it as not being a problem, because they're not going without. They're not walking in our shoes.
No, and, you know, like I said, you can sell drugs if you have sick people. You can sell bullets, guns, and ammunition and medical supplies. If you can start a war, you can do whatever you want, you know.
Yep.
But you can't sell drugs if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no bullets if ain't nobody fighting. And guess who's the one going to be fighting? It ain't going to be the representative going out there. It's going to be your kids. It's going to be you. You're going to be the one out there sacrificing your life.
Have you even seen the FEP stuff, the Free Energy Party stuff?
No, I haven't seen none of their stuff. I've been too busy with my own.
Okay, well, one of the things that the main guy that I've talked to there has come under fire for us. He's saying we got these people in office that are basically selling out to the corporation. So, you know, he calls them political whores. And he wanted me to back him up on this, and I was like, to be honest, I have a problem with calling them that, because you're demeaning the
you know, prostitutes. At least what they're selling, they own. These people that are in office are selling things that don't even belong to them.
They're
selling our future. They're selling our kids, you know, and they don't care.
They don't.
They're just selling all the way and then pocketing all the profits, you know. They're you know,
there's,
it's not even real profit. It's worthless.
There's a parallel between all nations. There's something that all nations have in common, and that's the simple fact is all the doggone supposed representatives out there are basically screwing them out of their freedom, their sovereignty, their health, their futures, their children's futures. And these guys out there, if you go look at their house, guarantee you, they got some nice food in their refrigerator, and I bet it ain't genetically altered. I bet it's really good, healthy food.
Yep.
They don't care about you. They're going to feed the hogs the slop while they eat the caviar, and that's just the hardcore facts of it. And
yep.
for us down here to be the ones that actually make the caviar, you know, we don't make it, but we package it, whatever.
Right. Well, the majority of those people in power are psychopaths. There's a part of their brain that is broken that cannot even feel the emotions that experience the pain and the suffering that these actions cause. So there's no way they could understand how somebody else is feeling, since they could not even feel it themselves. And they're selling that to people now, Prozac, to try to dull down your emotions. Dude, that's a psychopathy in a bottle, in a pill.
See, they got the market cornered on the drug situation. They can get you to liking booze, then make it illegal, and then you fight over that. They can get you to liking drugs, and then they can basically make it illegal, fight over that, and then you turn
right,
around.
And anything that's actually useful, they'll cover it up.
Yeah, but see,
there's a drug called modafinil that is almost like 100% effective at relieving depression. And it does it in a manner that actually, it's basically just making your brain work the way it's supposed to. But they won't, in fact, they'll actually fire and remove their license to practice medicine if they actually use that on people with depression. Instead, they want to put that fluoride and heavy metal in them to dull their senses down and turn them into zombies instead.
Yeah, but, you know, once again, the regulations, the taxing, if they make it illegal, then when they catch you with it, you get thrown in jail, you got to pay fines, and believe it or not, prisons are money-making corporations. I mean, they make a lot of money keeping people in jail.
There's an example of the money-making machine that prisons are. Back in Pennsylvania, there was a judge that was giving maximum sentences to underage kids and, you know, basically treating them like adults, specifically because every kid that he sentenced to prison and they went to this maximum facility, this prison facility, he was getting a payback from them because they got paid out those people. And they just arrested that guy finally.
Well,
and they're talking about giving him some time and, you know, fining him and whatnot. I was like, no. Treat him like you do those drug dealers. Take everything he owns and give that to all those families he destroyed. And then make him work to make up the rest of it in prison for the rest of his days.
What do you think would happen if every single time that somebody handed you a dollar bill, it was dripping in blood? Would you take that dollar bill?
Of course not.
I wouldn't either. But yet,
That's just it. They are all dripping in blood.
Exactly.
That's why I said, when you're pulling to get a little slack and somebody else out, just because you can't hear their gasp for air doesn't mean it's not happening. It's still happening. The dollar is just a way to basically disconnect you from the suffering you cause other people while you're taking from them so that you don't notice it.
So if
they want us all to kill each other off so they can swoop in and just take what we have.
So if you go out there in your farm and you raise you some wheat and you grind it into flour and then you turn around and you make a loaf of bread and you trade it to your neighbor for, let's say, some melons or something like that, and those melons and that the bread, they're not dripping in blood. They might be dripping a little bit of sweat from hard work, but yet I would rather take that piece of bread, that loaf of bread, than I would a dollar bill.
Right, and that's how it should be. The problem is, though, people just can't accept that, you know?
No, because dollar bills buy those things you were talking about earlier, those shiny things. Ooh, look, it's shiny, it's pretty, I gotta have it, you know? You're gonna buy you yourself, you're gonna try to spend your entire life to build you this stairway to heaven paved in gold. And I was talking to my son just yesterday. We were out working hard. We were salvaging some barn tin off of an old barn, and we were working on it. And I told him on the way home, I said, thought had crossed my mind while we were out there working on it, because he was complaining about, you know, how his life was a little bit rough, and that, you know, he was worried about his future and all that kind of stuff. And I tried to tell him, I said, look, boy, I said, while we were out there cutting that, bringing that tin off of that barn, and all that work that we done, we're going to take that barn tin and we're going to bring it over. We're going to patch up a few things, maybe build a few sheds or something like that with that barn tin. But long after I'm gone, when you're still around and you're an old man, that barn tin's going to continue to deteriorate, because there's nothing out there that man has ever built that is not going to eventually go back to nature. Nature always takes back. And so with that said, don't worry about what the future has in store for you. Worry about living your life and enjoying your life and making the best of it. Because if you think about what I just said, it's all these folks that's out there trying to build a stairway to heaven with gold. They can't take it with them, you know.
Right. I was going to say, when the game is over, all the money from the Monopoly game goes back in the box.
Yep, sure does.
Who gets to keep it? No one gets to keep it.
And yeah. So, don't miss out on your family and your friends for something to try to feel like you're rich. The true gold is you. The true gold is your family. The true gold is your friends and the people around the world who actually, you know, have a heart that even care.
Right.
You know?
And the enjoyment you get out of basically helping others and actually seeing them happy, too, you know?
Yeah, you could have all the finest things in life, and granted, you might have a nice life. Everything might be easy. It might be enjoyable. You might have fun. But I can tell you from experience, because if you got a lot of money, you're going to have a lot of friends. When that money runs out, and you're starting to wonder, where are all your friends? How come the phone calls have ceased? You ain't got no company, you know? You start wondering what's going on. Where did all my friends go? The true friends is this guy that I'm talking to on Skype right now. He would be there in the time that my money ran out. He ain't asked me for nothing, you know? He's just sharing some of his knowledge with me.
That's just it, though. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of issues, little issues, and we need to just start focusing on tackling one issue at a time and be happy with the success each time we you know, succeed.
Yeah.
Hey, like you said about that gold, that's part of that gold. Take that little bit of gold every time you get a little bit, you know, and just, you know, relish in that.
My wife's show yesterday, and because it is the holidays, was on thankful, you know, is thankfulness. Being thankful for what you do have and you know, forgetting all the rest. You know, I told my son, I said, you know, good things are going to come around to you. You know, bad things are going to come around to you. It's all going to be dependent on you, what you do with your life, you know. You put out them positive seeds in the world. You plant positive seeds for everyone else just like they did for you. Everything's going to work out just fine, you know. That's the basic. That's the common sense of it as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
That's pretty much it. I mean, you're on target there, you know. It's just a matter of, I don't know, getting past the he said, she said thing and realizing that, you know, none of this even matters. It's, you know, it's all what you do, how it affects another person. In fact, if you start, I don't know, like the mentality of, you know, you got this buddy who comes over, every time he comes over, he's talking bad about somebody else. I mean, if he's talking bad about somebody else to you, then why would you not believe that, honestly, he's probably, whenever he's not around you, he's over there talking bad about you.
Yeah.
You know?
And all the negativity that you spew out, negativity breeds negativity, and positivity breeds positivity. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, and, you know, you can prove it scientifically. You smash the window in your house, when it gets cold, you're going to freeze.
You're right.
So, why smash the window, you know?
Well, one of those things I think we probably need to seriously start tackling is, you know, misunderstanding of things like something as simple as magnetism. I'm sure you've seen dozens of those videos and whatnot online where basically they arrange permanent magnets in a group, and they're all, you know, changing the position the magnets are in and using a little shielding or something, thinking that's going to help. They've got this mentality that the magnet is putting out like an arrow of energy or something, which it's not. It's just like a bubble.
Well, you know, if you think about this for a second, when that magnet's sitting there, it is producing energy because it's actually creating a field.
And right.
So there is something going on there.
Right.
But,
well, like I said, though, the point is, though, you've got to imagine the field, and these people have got this screwed up way of imagining the field, so they're constantly trying things that don't work.
Well, here's this will help you out. I'm sure you'll agree with this portion right here, because we just got to have the conversation similar to that. We know that whenever we produce a magnetic field on a coil of wire, that eventually, depending on which type of AC or DC current, would depend on how much heat you actually get out of that, you actually get a loss via the heat. Well, if you already know that nature creates heat from a loss, why think of that as a loss? Why not use that as a benefit? Knowing how to tap into nature is the key to the whole thing.
Redundancy entrapment.
Yeah, well, they're trying to
let anything get away. You use it in some way or another. We have so many different forms of technology for taking advantage of things. Why not apply one of them to something that's coming out of it, and then whatever comes off of that, apply something to that?
Exactly. They're trying to defeat nature, which they're never going to succeed at. Why not, instead of trying to defeat nature?
Well, that's just it. When you were talking about that, you mentioned how we're in a sea of energy.
Yep.
Well, here's the problem with the sea of energy that makes it not useful. It's all chaotic and random. All Tesla did was he basically took a little bit of that chaotic energy and put a little device together to actually get it lined up and going the same direction, and tapped into a little bit of it, and look at all the potential he generated just from that.
Oh, yeah.
It's about organization. You got to organize it so that it can do work for you. If it's not organized, then it's fighting itself.
It's funny when they tell me that science doesn't know what gravity is. I just about die laughing every time I hear it. I mean, how could mainstream scientists honestly say that they don't know what gravity is? Gravity is magnetism. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Their big thing, though, is that they don't have a solid nail down for it. They have theories so far.
Well,
some of the aspects of gravity, we just don't have the technology to be able to say, look, you can see this or see that.
Think about the magnetic field, the magnetosphere on the Earth, you know. The Earth is a thermoelectric generator of epic proportions. And
right.
So it's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour on its axis. And so with that said, due to centrifugal force, we should like fly off into space, you know. We should be floating.
Right. We've got this is something that I've kind of, my theory on that is that the magnetic field that you see coming out of the Earth and the heat comes from it is actually gravity that's been converted into that. That's why there is a pull to the Earth and we're not flying off, because otherwise the particle that creates the gravity, it would just pass through the Earth like it's not there, and there would be no pull.
Well,
because
it's
just as much pushing you as it would be pulling you.
You know that your body creates a magnetic field, right?
Of course. Actually, the human body has a diamagnetic property because of the water in it.
Yeah, but you're able to not be flattened. Like, let's say you take two neodymium magnets and you put them close together. They will literally suck themselves together and lock in tight. Bam! The reason why you're not sucked to the earth so tight that you're flat as a pancake is because your magnetic field is so minute that it's just enough to hold you on the planet, but not enough to make you Superman, you know?
Or just fly off out into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Planet. I mean, we lose... That's one of our big problems right now is that... Like, they use helium for MRIs, and they're actually running out of helium. They can't, once they unlock it from whatever it's trapped in the Earth's crust, they have no way of holding on to it. Even inside of a steel container, it works its way between the atoms of the steel and comes out, and eventually it drifts off to the top of the atmosphere and gets blown away by solar wind.
Well, that's going to suck when helium's gone because we won't have no balloons.
I'm sure by the time that happens, we'll have figured out how to make helium out of water.
Yeah.
Out of hydrogen.
I keep saying this, and I know there's people out there that's going to disagree with me, but that's all right. You know, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it because it's everywhere.
Let's go back to that magnet thing you were talking about, that bubble effect that I was talking about. If you realize that it's a bubble that's coming out of it, then it's just a matter, because it's like a rubber ball sticking off it. If you can remove that temporarily and then allow it to interject itself into an area when you want it, you can solve the problem of the permanent magnet motor right there.
Oh, yeah.
There's still a mechanism that has to move, though, in order to shut off and then activate that magnetic field.
Because the magnetic lines of flux have to be able to pass through the copper windings in order to shake the extra electron loose in order for that extra electron to want to trade places with the next one.
Right, but I'm not talking about coils and wires. I'm talking about a permanent magnet on a rotor and a permanent magnet on a stator.
Oh, okay.
If you move the permanent magnet that's on the stator so that it's not able to actually interact with the magnet that's on the rotor until you're ready for it to, and then move it back into place when you're ready for it, that solves your problem right there. It's not a matter of turning or twisting or angling. It's a matter of basically just shunting that energy that's coming from it away until you're ready for it to be there, and then reshunting it back into the rotor.
Well, you're familiar with bismuth, right?
Yep.
That's one of the possibilities that could be done. Now, keep in mind that bismuth isn't going to completely block out the field, but it could weaken the field enough that
right.
would give it the reduce the cogging effect to where those magnets could skip across one another.
Right. Well, I will say, remember I said the rubber ball thing there?
Yeah.
The one major difference between a spring, a rubber ball, or any other substance like that in the magnetic field is that you can't take the material that spring or rubber ball is and get it to flow through a material like a steel shim, but you can with a magnet. If you put a piece of steel in front of that magnet and bend that piece of steel as it's going away from the magnet, you can actually get that energy coming from the magnet to flow through it the way water flows down a gully.
Yep. You know, there's like I said, there's so many different possibilities out there. It's just going to be up to the average Joe to actually start looking at things, step out of that box. See, that's the problem. They've been taught the laws of physics. They've been taught the basic laws of science. They kicked the basic laws of science to the curb and kept the laws of physics, and they are telling themselves that this can't be done. We can't do this because the law of conservation energy says that energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed.
There are some people that are saying that, but there are people that honestly believe that that's incorrect and are trying. And like I said, the one main thing I'm seeing that's causing them to fail, even though they're willing to try, is that they really don't understand how a magnetic field works. And one of the things that contributes to that is, you've seen it, you put a magnet underneath a sheet of paper and you throw some iron fillings on it and you see that little pattern form on it.
Yep.
And everybody thinks that maybe there's some sort of like an arrow-like form that's coming out of the magnet, and there's not. What you're looking at is the interference pattern that's caused by those shavings interacting with each other when they become little tiny magnets.
Well,
so if you look at it in a three-dimensional form, it's layers like an onion coming up out of the magnet.
Did you know
a cross section?
Did you know that Tesla's favorite shape was the sphere?
I thought he didn't like pearls.
his best shape was the sphere, and there's a reason I believe behind that. If you go take build you a little small Tesla coil, and get you one of the AC testers that they use to wirelessly test AC to see if there's power going in there. You can literally take that AC tester around that coil when it's going off, and you can trace it in a perfect sphere around that entire coil.
Right.
And I believe that the same could apply if you used some of the, what the heck they call them? They're for checking magnetic fields.
You're talking about an EM detector?
Yeah. You can do the same thing to a magnet. You can find that perfect sphere around that magnet.
That's what I'm saying. It's if you put a shield on it, all you're doing is it's like basically, let's say that you have a tube that's your shield, right? And it's around a magnet, okay? And you get the impression that because it goes up out of the off the end of the magnet, that now you have this straight tube of magnetic field that's coming out of it, and that's incorrect. It's not a straight tube, but it's going to do the same thing a bubble would do.
Yep.
If you blow through that tube and you have some soap in there, and you blow that on out, and it spreads out on the end, what does it do? It forms a round bubble coming out of the end of it, and then it wets the edge of the tube, and it'll sink back onto it. It wraps around the edge of it. And that's what's happening with their shields, is that it wraps around the edge of it. So it's still pushing in the wrong direction whenever you're approaching it with your rotor magnet. It's always there. You've got to shut it off.
You know, nature is the best teacher. If you look at the magnetosphere and you look at the sun, when the sun spews out a coronal mass ejection and that plasma comes towards the Earth, it literally, when that energy hits our magnetosphere, stretches our magnetosphere out into space, and basically whenever the energy passes by, it snaps back into place. That snapping back into place is what causes that surge, that magnetic surge through all the power lines that you hear about like last time it was back in the 1800s when they used to use telegraph when they got hit by a big old a solar flare and basically sent a higher voltage through lines that weren't capable of holding that, and people got the crap shocked out of them. So using that concept of being able to disrupt that magnetic field by shooting energy towards that magnet and causing that magnetic flux lines to temporarily bend and then on the snapback create energy. What do you think of that?
I think the concept you're talking about is the same one that would apply to the Tesla coil. That I think you're the one that has a Tesla coil that part of it is a coax cable.
Yeah.
You've got basically a capacitance that's going on in there, so whenever the coil is charged, it causes the shield to charge too. And when you collapse that field that's in the wire, then that field that's in the capacitor has to collapse too, and it causes a second shock wave.
Yep. And that's if you look real close at that death ray video, that's pretty much the exact same thing that's going on in there. That thing will hold a charge after it's shut off because it literally has a capacitor layer.
Right. And something I noticed too about the coil that Cultus was pointing out, the ring, the primary that charges your secondary coil in that.
Yep.
There's only an injection point down at the bottom. The rest is a resistor to compress that. It's like taking a tube and shoving a certain amount of water into it, and as the tube goes along, the longer you get down the tube, the smaller and tinier the tube gets, so that the water going through is going under greater and greater pressure.
Exactly.
And you put that the top portion inside that capacitive shield, it's not changing the fact that it's still compressing that and creating that higher voltage. You're just getting that extra advantage of catching that energy that's normally thrown away and putting it back to good use.
Yep. What do you think?
I think there's potential there. I think it needs to be investigated for sure.
Yeah, and I got a lot of experiments that I want to do with that thing right there, but like you were saying, you just explained plumbing essentially, and electricity is plumbing. You know, you got a wider wire you get more current, you get a thinner wire, you get more pressure. And so if you think about electricity in the lines of water, you know, you can pressurize it, you can bring the voltage high and lower the current, or you can, you know, you see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So with that basic knowledge, it's apparent to me that we can build our electric motors to be 100% or more efficient just by designing them. Like right now, you look at the average motor, it's not designed to run on high voltage, so therefore you can't. They say you got to have amps, you got to have watts and everything to run a motor. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that if you took the motor and redesigned it, you could get it to run on any current, any electricity, any voltage.
Right. Can we take a break for a minute or two?
Sure. We're running down to the last wire anyway. We only got like 15 minutes of the show, but I'll throw on a tune and we'll come back.
Okay. I'll be right back in 2 or 3 minutes. So however long you wanna take that break for, we can start back up then. All right.
Cool. Well, folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'll throw on a quick tune here, and then we'll be back with you right shortly. Here's a good tune.
Can you remember? evil.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Old King Shaziz the Terrible. I'm sitting here with my honorable knight, Thomas. How you doing there, brother?
Still pretty good.
Well, we've had a really fascinating discussion throughout this entire show. Touched on a whole lot of subjects, man. What do you think? Where should we go from here? We got like
organization.
10 minutes left.
organization. We need to get network together and start really doing something. I mean, if you're out there listening to this and you want to get involved with some other people that are working on similar stuff to try to, you know, use the adage, to use the old adage, many hands make light of a heavy load, you know, to accomplish something that maybe you couldn't do on your own, or it would take many years to accomplish on your own, whereas a group of people could do it in, say, a couple months, then, you know, we really need to focus on trying to find each other and get together and start working on stuff.
Well, I agree with that as well. You know, one of the things that I keep pointing out all the time is that, like my friend Cultus and I, he's an alternative energy, Muddy's an alternative energy, and my friend Steve, when he's around, is a vast wealth of knowledge. I'm getting a feedback on you again there, brother. I've got my brain twicking. Anyway, yeah, like I said, putting all these folks together, that's where we need to be, you know?
Right. You still have that feedback?
Not now.
Okay. I must have turned it up or something.
It's modern technology, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely need some sort of an interconnectivity, so... I've got a forum that I started. Cultus is supposed to be putting something together with, I think, Kent, was it?
Yeah.
Who, the thing called Virtual Labs.
Oh, yeah, we're working on that as well.
So, I mean, there's a number of opportunities for people to get involved and work with other people. If people want to take advantage of, you know, some of the tools and whatnot, skills I've got, I mean, I put that link up there. if they use the home button and go back and look through there's a contact page on there. They can reach me. It uses a form submission to go directly to my main email, so there's no chance of it caught in my spam filter or anything like that. So just make sure that you leave me some information to contact you, because I haven't mastered ESP yet to send, you know, thoughts out to people.
Yeah, see, once we all get back to that, we'd be fine.
Right. I will say, for now, I need an email or something, you know, a phone number, post office box address, whatever you feel comfortable leaving in that little box. And, you know, just make sure there's something there if you want feedback from me. So.
Well, and that's the key right there. The feedback, that's what makes these networks work, man. Folks sharing information and links, and, you know, just by showing up in the chat room, you become an honorary knight of the round table, and you can help the cause by just simply putting a smiley face inside the chat room, or some pertinent links to whatever's going on the radio show, or just information that you think's worthy of sharing with folks. You know, it's not about fear-mongering. It's not about selling anything. It's about people from all different nations coming together and making a positive change towards the world. Well, dude, we're down to, like, the last 2 minutes before I got to go into my old outro there, so to speak. I'm going to give this last 2 minutes to you.
I really don't have much more to put to it. I mean, that's it right there. You nailed it. There's more than enough places on Facebook if somebody wants to look me up there too. It's Thomas A. Anderson. If you're not sure which Thomas A. Anderson, just, you know, look for the guy with the big black top hat and a scowl on. That's me.
That's cool. So. Well, you know what? As always, it's been a pleasure, brother, and I'm honored to have you on the show, and would love to have you back again anytime you feel comfortable joining in. And
same here. I've definitely enjoyed it. So,
with that said, to everybody out there listening, peace and love, and take care. I'm not sure who's coming up next, but stay tuned for next weekend, Mad Science on Saturday, and the Knights of the Round Table on Sunday. I heard myself echo. Echo, echo. Hello!
More feedback?
Yeah, it's all right, brother. It's all adds, what's the word I'm looking for? Character. I may be crazy, but I have charisma. All right, take care, everybody. Peace and love.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll do routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.